We want to move to just a time of celebration, but maybe if I could take just a couple minutes. I was not a part of that journey. I was all of 4 years old when this church was planted. But I have been part of the journey of Cochrane Alliance since 1997. And I, like everyone has just said, really the best part about being part of a church is the people and the relationships and who God brings in and out of your life. But I just want to acknowledge some of the project nature things that have happened in the life of our church that you may not always know. Number one, like each week on your envelope, you can give to the Benevolent Fund, which is a fund that we use to help people coming there that could be in our church, outside the church. There could be people traveling through. Could be our friends in Morley, someone in the church here who needs help paying rent. Do you know that over the past 10 years, we've given away $150,000 in just helping people at an emergency time or a special need that they have? In addition to that, how many of you were around in 2007 when the trailer park was sold to build the apartments that are there now, I think the Point of View apartments, and all those people who are living there were asked to vacate and to move? How many of you were around back in that time? There was a fund established called the United Homecoming Fund. It was kind of a community-wide effort. And our church family contributed $31,000 in that year to just help those people either relocate their trailer, get a first few months rent in at a new spot. And it was just an amazing outpouring of a way that we invested in the lives of our people at that time. 25 years ago, some women in our church, again, we could get the stories from those who were just here on the platform, but a few women were concerned that moms who are facing an unexpected pregnancy were not being served. And so they established the Cochrane Pregnancy Care Center that continues to this day to serve young families, to promote the value of life in our community. And we've had people from this church who've either been founders, executive directors, board members, staff members, and tireless volunteers. And that goes back to something that God stirred within us. We don't get to own this one completely, but a few years ago, about 5 years ago, an organization called Helping Hands was founded in our community. And its mission is to link people who help with people who need help. And you need to know that probably more than 50% of the people who volunteer and serve with Helping Hands come from faith communities like ours. We had a part in establishing this organization from just kind of a loose conglomeration of churches that worked with the town to now a charitable foundation that involves thousands of people in food drives, in serving the poor, driving people to Calgary. And the first ED of Helping Hands, the first executive director, is Jackie Shire, who's a part of our church family. And it's not just community investment here in town. I could talk for hours about how we've invested in different places in the world, but I remember in 2010, we as a church were looking to establish a partnership, and we met another Alliance church called Jesus Lives Church in San Raimundo, Guatemala, and they had this piece of property and kind of an empty lot, and their vision was to build an elementary school that would serve their little area. And over the past more than decade now, we've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in the capital project and in the programmatic funds of that school, so that now there are more than 120 kids that are getting education in that community, a Christian education that is tied directly to the life of the church in that village. And I couldn't talk about projects if we didn't mention where we are right now, as we had this massive undertaking of Open the Door, where our desire was to get a facility that would serve us well on the weekends and with our own ministry, but also be a place where we could invite the community in. And again, if I had time, I could tell you even in the past month, the different community organizations that have been in here and been making use of our space. Some of them tell us that there's no other place that they can afford to do these kind of things, but that our church serves that need. Better or just as good as all those projects are, the people that you have invested in over the years. I think of people serving on the mission field today. Already was mentioned a former youth pastor, Mark and Paula Jones. Currently, we have Brett Hebert serving in New Zealand. He's coming back to Cochrane soon. Rachel Ellerby in the Middle East. Jordy Dyke serving as an interim pastor in Marwane. Dee Clark working with Youth Unlimited in Lacombe. Kelly Reed is a young man who found Jesus playing street hockey with us in the parking lot, met some high school kids from Cochrane Alliance. They introduced him to Jesus. And today, he leads the Tapestry Church plant that meets at the seminary just up the hill. And I just talked to him sometime this year. He'll finish his PhD in theological studies. His spiritual journey really began when he played street hockey with us out there. I want to thank you for the leaders that you've developed in this context. I'm seeing Frank Godfrey sit there, and I know Frank has told some of you his story, but 20 years ago, he was a person in town from a different side of Christianity who wondered if the Alliance was some kind of crazy Christian cult. And he sat down with the lead pastor, my predecessor at that time, and out of that, he took the Alpha course. Frank has probably been through every single discipleship pathway that Cochrane Alliance has ever offered. He was baptized here, and now he serves us as the chairman of our board. And much of his spiritual journey has been as a result of your investment in him as a church. And if I could speak personally, I would just want to say thank you for your investment in me. When I came to Cochrane Alliance, I was 22 years old. I know the secret conversations in the board, whether they were going to hire me or not, and some weren't sure. But if I was hired, this is in 2000, when Mike and I were ordained, and there's Becky and Cindy, they are just babies, hard to believe that they were married already at that time. I would say that in my life, there are three primary arenas that God has shaped me. In my marriage, in my family life, my role as a father, and in my leadership context. And all of that, my entire career, my entire ministry has been shaped by you and ministry to you and to your kids. I think back to the time when the board was considering to invite me to be lead pastor, and I was 29 years old. If I was on the board now, I might caution a church from inviting, from an established church inviting a 29-year-old to give leadership. But there was either a crazy risk-taking thing going on there, or else the leaders at that time had faith that God would be able to work through me. And I want to thank you for your investment in me over now 22 years of serving here. And I would say the apologies and the mistakes that I've had to make are all within this context, and you've been very gracious nonetheless. Let me tell you about just one other person who I think illustrates what we do as a church, and it's this guy. Some of you will know him, Colin Trudgeon. He passed away while we were in this building project, but in the mid-2000s, he showed up here, and when we had an outdoor service at Cochrane Ranch, and he had just been diagnosed with cancer, and he had two missions in life at that time: find God and beat cancer. And Colin was pretty unrefined. He remained unrefined until his dying day, I think. But he really did find God. He met Jesus as a result of a 10-day prayer ministry that we had. He was healed of his cancer. God extended his life by 10 years. He was baptized in our church. He began, because of what he experienced as a result of that praying ministry, he was among the most faithful prayer warriors that was here. And he continued to bring kind of rough, uncut, don't fit the mold type dudes into the life of our church and told them that they needed Jesus and they needed to straighten out. And we got to journey with Colin. He got to serve you. He loved your kids in Sunday school. And we got to be with him as he transitioned to his eternal home. And it didn't happen overnight, but that's what happens when a church is just there over the long haul. You get to see God shape someone over that time. And every year, we get to see people be in this baptismal tank sharing their stories of what Jesus has done. And it just blows my mind. Sometimes we're right a part of that journey, and other times we're just kind of, God hands us these people that he's working in, and we get to tell them more about Jesus. We get to love them. What a privilege it is to be a church. If I'm honest, it doesn't always feel super exciting day by day. On a day like today, we kind of get a view from the balcony and we get to see what God has done over the long haul. But if I was honest, there's many nights that I go home at night and wonder, God, is anything happening? Are you still doing something? Is all this stuff that we do, is it worth it? And there's a story that Jesus tells that I think is an important reminder for us on a day like this. Two really simple stories, actually. You've heard them before. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. In Jesus' day, saying that something was as small as a mustard seed, it was a proverbial way of saying that something was tiny and insignificant. And a mustard seed was the most insignificant of all the seeds you could have at that time, but when it was planted and it germinated and it grew into a fairly decent-sized tree that was the biggest of all garden plants. And then the yeast. In those days, the way women grew the bread was to take a clump of old dough and put it in the new dough, and that fermented stuff mixed into the batch made it rise, of course. And hidden in that fresh batch of flour, just a tiny bit of yeast causes a large amount of bread to rise and provide food for a lot of people. And when Jesus tells this story, he says it's a big batch of bread. If you translate what he meant by big batch, he probably means like 60 pounds of flour. That's a really big batch of bread. An insignificant seed turns out to be something very significant in the end. A seemingly irrelevant bit of yeast hidden inside some dough ends up changing the whole batch, and it feeds many people. What's Jesus' point? Jesus' work, the good news about him, seems small, unimpressive, like it's not doing very much. It's a church, it's just a bunch of people who believe a story about a man who was crucified and rose again. And doing Christian things, following Jesus, seems like it's kind of irrelevant. Praying to an invisible God, using your weekends to worship him, spending your life and money and time serving other people. What's that really going to do? But looks can be deceiving. Let me read to you a quote from Dale Bruner, who explains it this way. He says, "Our gospel is in most measurable ways small. How does it stack up with the great philosophies in history? Doesn't it seem minuscule in comparison? How does the Sunday school story of Jesus compare with Platonism or existentialism? And yet experience teaches that over history's long haul, it has been the story of Jesus that has most deeply moved men and women intellectually, that has delivered the most meaning to them emotionally, and has sent them into helpful mission most adventurously. This little philosophy of life compares very well indeed with the world's major philosophies, religions, and ideologies." And then here's the catch. We need not be ashamed of the smallness of Jesus, his story, and his teachings. For while it is characteristic of all seeds to be small, it is their characteristic also to be alive. A grain of mustard seed is small, but it is seed and it has in it a disposition to grow. Jesus' story and his teachings are alive with power in enough people in the world to be, in fact, trees of shelter and loaves of food for the needy all over the world. So the life that we're called to as a church, serving, telling the story, teaching Sunday school, gathering for prayer, singing God's praises, building relationships with each other, getting out there on mission, helping the poor, making meals for the sick, it may appear on the surface that that is small, insignificant, that it moves very slowly, but we are actually dealing with the most powerful movement the world has ever seen, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So one day, like everyone here said, we'll see what the results really are, but until that time, it's usually hidden. It doesn't make front page news. The results don't come as fast as we would like. But because the gospel is alive, we don't give up, which is what Paul says in Galatians 6:5, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So, thank you for your investment. Thank you for the ways that you've given and served and prayed and stuck with us in high times and in low. Let's think long. I've heard a few variations of this quote, so I don't even know who to attribute it to. I'll claim it myself, but this is how it goes. We overestimate what we can do by ourselves in a year, but underestimate what God can do in and through us in a decade. Let's think long. And maybe the best stories that we'll ever be able to tell ourselves are still in our future. So let's do this together. And we're going to go a bit long here, but let's just review our history with some pictures. Let's give God some praise, and then let's come to the communion table, which anchors us in the main event of it all, Jesus coming for us. And servers, if you want to come forward sometime during the slideshow to just join me at the front and sit in one of these chairs, that would be great. Let's look at our history.
Come, let us bow at his feet. He has changes and the songs we sing. We still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes and the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King.